Tremaine Rowdies, who have made a huge upset.
Your 2021 Eastern Conference champion.
Attack by
Oh, that is a delicious goal for Tampa Bay.
And now, you're tuned into Tampa Bay's RBLR Sports.
Hello, everyone out there in Tampa Bay and beyond. This is James Holmes coming at you for the RBLR Sports Podcast. I am here tonight with the returning shadow boxing champion, Carlos, who is ready not only to return, but actually to win the title. Carlos, are you ready to go out there and defeat your shadow boxing opponents, which is most likely another shadow?
It's just me and the camera right now. I've never lost, still undefeated to this day. How many episodes have we done, James? We've been on here for a little bit. I just realized the other day I've been doing this for like over 3 years. You went on here even a little bit longer. It's crazy. So I've won, let's say, 3 years worth of shadow boxing matches with myself and the camera.
That's a pretty good record, folks,
to this point. Yeah. James, the Rowdies won this weekend. It's their first win in what feels like forever. Still missing that elusive second league win. But we'll take our first win in Jägermeister Cup play. A win's a win right now, James, and I'm happy with it. We can talk about what it actually means, how we feel about it in just a second. But the Rowdies win. First win in, oh, geez, hold on, let me count it out. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 games, James. I'm happy. We're playing the Jägermeister Cup. Yeah, that's the thing, and games are happening and teams are winning. And here's a quick takeaway before I ask you how you're doing. The gap between the championship and League One, not that big in terms of talent, roster construction. It's really, really fascinating. I've really enjoyed this cup. There's been some interesting results between League One teams and championship teams. James, before we jump into the Jaeger Bomb Cup, how are you doing down in the Tampa Bay area? Why are you wearing that black and pink shirt, James? Got to use some green and gold.
Don't worry. It is not Miami. It is simply messy. It is different from Miami. I understand the colors are there, but that's for branding's sake. I have no affiliation, of course, with Inter Miami. But I'm doing well. It is raining, and as my mother-in-law would say, we needed it here. I can't talk any shit though because she just got hearing aids today, so she might be outside the door, actually listening and even hearing me this time. But regardless, we will move on from the rain and the weather here because, as Carlos said, there are bright and sunny things to talk about. What a transition for me into the last week for the Rowdies and our win, yes, in the Jägermeister Cup. The Jäger Bomb Cup is probably actually a better name for it if we're being perfectly honest. But we're going to get into all of that today. Before we get moving with anything, I want to say that we are actually going to do a little bit different today with our format. This, again, just like it was 2 or 3 weeks ago whenever we switched things up, this is not going to be a regular thing. It's just going to be a tonight thing because there's a lot of stuff online that we haven't fully addressed, and we should really take the time to do that. So that's actually something that Carlos and I are going to do tonight. We're going to do a very quick recap overall of the Jägermeister game. We would usually spend however long we spend on our review. That's not going to be tonight. We're going to do the quickest version possible, go through our man of the match, do a preview of Lou City away, and then we will get into our extra time segment, which is going to take up the vast majority of this episode. So just stay tuned for us to get into all of the online chatter. If you want us to talk about all of the stuff that you have seen people tweeting about, writing about, possibly TikToking about, I wouldn't know, then we are here to do that this very evening, or if you're listening, this very morning, afternoon, or night. So please stay tuned for the rest of that. And don't forget our ticket competition to bring a new person to a Rowdies game. All you have to do is bring a new person, take a picture with them, post it to social media, and tag us. All right, Carlos, I'm going to do the quick recap so we can get into the questions, but keep those real quick. The starting 11 for this Jägermeister Cup match for us: Ethan Bondre in net, Robert Castellanos, Forrest Lasso, and Aaron Guillen at the back, Nick Moon, Thomas Van Kaziel, Danny Crisostomo, and Ollie Bassett in the midfield with Blake Bodley as the left wing back. And then up top, we had two players listed, Leo Fernandez and Manuel Arteaga. It was another 3-4-3-5-2, depending on the moment that you saw it. But we went back to three at the back with two wing backs. And not only that, those were Blake Bodley and Nick Moon, I think in his first start since very early on in 2025. So that's very positive to see, in my opinion. Nick Moon is a good player, and we brought him in last year. We brought in Blake Bodley and Nick Moon to be our starting wingbacks last season. Yeah. And we probably haven't seen them actually be able to start a game together over this whole time. I don't know if we have had them play together since we signed them back in December of 23 or January of 24, whatever it was.
They were that dynamic duo over in San Diego. That was
exactly
easy transition. We keep them together, just basically plug and play to the Tampa Bay squad. But the Moon injuries have really piled up, and it seems like when he's starting to come back, Bodley's had a couple knocks as well. So yeah, good to see them kind of coming back into form, or at least health, together. Maybe we can get that old San Diego form back from them. That'd be nice.
Yeah. I mean, first of all, we got to get good minutes out of them both. And I think if they can stay healthy, which is obviously the goal for everybody, but if they can stay healthy, then we're looking at something really positive there. So after going down in the first half, we actually rallied in the second. Very surprising for the Rowdies lately, but they did not put their heads down. They knew that they had it in them to come back in this game. They had done extremely well in the first half, and they ultimately got the two goals they needed from Rubens Passius and Ollie Bassett. Quick standings update for the USL Jägermeister Cup Group 6. The Miami leads with 5 points, I think it was. The Rowdies are on 4. South Georgia Tormenta and Naples both have 3 points, so they are behind us in that order. Greenville are second last, because last place team in Group 6, believe it or not, is Charleston Battery. 0 points from 2 games in the Jaeger Cup. So,
who would have thought?
Are they taking it fully seriously? Probably not, but it's still a very interesting thing that they have lost. I think they've lost 2 games to 2 USL League 1 teams, in fact, which just goes to what Carlos was saying about the gap not being too big between these two leagues. So, yeah. Carlos, let's jump into the questions here. Was this a deserved win, in your opinion? Why or why not? And what did you like about this game? I'm assuming that there was a lot in the first half to like, other than the goal. And then there were two big things in the second half to like, because I think overall the second half was less dominant compared to the first.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting, right? Because first half feels a bit more dominant, but obviously we're losing 1-0 through that entire half and don't get our first goal until the 79th minute in the second half. But I mean, just looking at the numbers, you look at that first half possession, 69% possession to 31% possession for Tormenta. But not a ton in terms of really, really dangerous opportunities. There's been some good play. It seems like there was a good amount of chance creation. Don't get me wrong, throughout this game for the Rowdies, but not anything particularly, you know, massively threatening for us. But I generally liked how our offense looked in this one. I know we were playing a League One side, but again, like I've said multiple times now, and like you referenced, the gap's not that big between League One and the Championship. That being said, South Georgia Tormenta FC is on the lower end of League One as well. So I think this is a game that we should expect to have won. I would have liked it to be by more goals, and I think it should have been by more goals. So I think I won't say I'm thrilled with the result. I think I'm a little disappointed because it was obviously as close as it was. I think it should have been a much more comfortable win. That being said, I was happy with the chance creation, like I said. It felt like there was a bit more rhythm. It didn't feel as stagnant as, you know, just a week before versus Lexington, right? That game just felt like nothing was really going, a lot of turnovers. Despite Tormenta getting the first goal in this one, it did feel like there was much more of a rhythm to the squad, an offensive cohesion. Plays were coming together, even if the last touch wasn't there, that last, you know, that final shot to put it on goal in an effective manner might have not been there, but we were creating the opportunities to get us there, which I'm not sure I've been able to say a lot this season.
Right.
In addition to that, with the exception of, and hold on, well, I was going to say the back line looked okay. But we have to talk about that goal that Tormenta got too, because that was a really, again, a silly moment for our back line. It's kind of just been struggling to find its rhythm that we know it has in them. But if you take a look at the goal that Tormenta scores, this comes off a turnover. Van Kaziel does a great job. Again, defensive-minded center mid. So this is really like his specialty is what we have him here for. Intercepts a pass in a pretty dangerous Tormenta counterattack. He gets in the way, pokes the ball away. Forrest Lasso gets the ball at his feet with a good chunk of space between him and the Tormenta player coming down on him. There's a good, I don't know, 6, 7, 8 feet between Lasso and this Tormenta player. I think like this, if you take a look at the highlight and you take a look at the clip I'm looking at, it's just from the broadcast. This is a moment that we just shouldn't be in, right? Lasso has the ball here after a good Van Kaziel forced turnover. And I think he makes a mistake by playing it back to Castellanos, who is to his left, closer to the goal, who also has a Tormenta attacker like right on top of him. Silly mistake. Forces Robert Castellanos to make a really kind of just hasty pass, just kind of booted away. And it takes an unfortunate deflection off Lasso. I think, again, this is easy for me to say from my desk here in my apartment in Arlington, Virginia. It looks like the right decision would have been for Lasso to just boot it away instead of forcing Castellanos into that kind of tough spot. But even if that is the play, if you play it back to Castellanos, Lasso needs to be a bit more engaged in the play, kind of conscious of what's going on, step out of the way. He's just kind of sitting in front of Castellanos' only real kicking lane passing. It's not a pass. He wasn't really passing it. He was just kind of booting it away. That's what I'm calling it, a kicking lane. The only way for Castellanos to have kicked it away from the goal was through Lasso. So it was unfortunate. Yes. Just really kind of series there. We turn the ball over off of that Castellanos clearance, quote unquote. Tormenta gets the ball very comfortably. They can set up nicely for a beautiful little cross from their number 11, who I'm not sure what his name is. I can figure it out really quickly. Tormenta's number 11, Nyangio. Is that how you pronounce it? Jonathan Nyangio. Put in a perfect ball, an absolute beauty of a ball to Vivas, who finds himself right in front of Aaron Guillen. Yeah, he was in the right spot. It was a good play. It was well worked. I think Guillen could have done a little bit more to get in front of him, but at the end of the day, a well-worked play off of what shouldn't have been a chance for them in the first place. Okay.
And Carlos, if I can jump in real fast, and then I'll turn it right back over to you. I wanted to highlight something from the press conference when we brought this up with Steve Coleman. Yeah. I asked what his take on the defense was, because obviously there was this moment, but otherwise I thought we'd done well. I think you were saying roughly the same.
Yeah.
And he said that there is this metric in his whatever statistics database he has access to, probably something that we don't, but whatever he has access to, there are I think he said 4 passes in between usually a team giving up a ball and and the other team scoring. And there's also a very high incidence in the league of teams defending and then they win the ball back and then they give it away. And then the other team scores again. So it was called the second attack. You have the first attack, the team wins it back and then, or the defenders win it and they lose it. And then the team has a second attack and they score. And that's actually what happened in this case too. So that was something that I guess I wasn't particularly familiar with, but it was part of the press conference. If you want the exact quote, it is on our social media. Our producer Eureka does the video there and puts it all up on our, all of our different social media. So if you do want that, please go check it out there. But yeah, I just thought that that was interesting and probably something, obviously, if this is a focus of the coaching staff such that they have the terms to talk about, you know, these kinds of things, then probably it's something that they are thinking about in there. And it's unfortunate that it just didn't come up, I guess, in that moment. Obviously, where Forrest Lasso's ball, I agree with you, Carlos, it was not the best decision in that moment, more than likely. And Robert Castellanos is in a position where he's got very little room to try and get the proper purchase to get a clearance.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's not the ideal look, of course, for a proper defense. But I'll turn it back over to you.
Yeah, no, well said. I think beyond that, with the exception of one counterattack, that Bondre came up massive in the second half.
Massive
ball. It was a one-on-one opportunity that felt like it should have put the game away. Tormenta going up 2-0, most dangerous lead in soccer, quote unquote. In this case, I would have felt like it kind of puts the nail in the coffin for Tormenta, and they kind of were comfortable sitting back, which they did anyway. But I think they would have been able to sit back and maybe close out this one instead of turning it over and letting the Rodgers win 2-1. But with the exception of that one opportunity, which big exception, yes, there wasn't a ton of chances for Tormenta. I felt like we outplayed them, which, again, you might be saying, Carlos, that's kind of expected, standard. We're playing against a League One team, a pretty low barrel League One team. But like we haven't had a lot of games where you could have said we thoroughly outplayed that team and won. And we did that in this game, which is good. I don't care who the opponent is. The opponent could have been an NPSL team at this point. To put together a what felt like as complete a 90 as we've had in a little bit of just good enough soccer is a good step in the right direction. I'll point you to my favorite clip. And again, I'm just looking at the highlights now, again, on another screen. I'll point you to my favorite play from the first half that I think kind of demonstrates the best, the improving connection with the midfield and the attack, and just get some good interplay going on. There was a great, great little sequence in the 41st minute that I felt like could have easily ended up in a goal. Ollie's playing so well out there on the wing. I think he's getting more and more comfortable out there. If you recall, it wasn't really the position we've seen him a lot in his CPL days, but I think he's gotten more comfortable over there. With Leo Fernandez interplay in the middle. Like, I think Leo's had a pretty interesting game in this one, in this play. Just a beautiful little touch to Blake Bodily, who has a wide open Nick Moon right at the penalty spot. Nick Moon would have had the easiest tap in his life, but I think Bodily just misses him and goes for the goal himself. This is one of those high XG opportunities. Chances that absolutely should have been a goal. And I think it was kind of demonstrative of better chemistry on this team, better interplay, better attack. So it's a long-winded way of saying, just in that first half, a lot of possession, not as a ton of incredibly dangerous opportunities, but better play, James. And I don't think that's something we've seen from this Rowdy squad a little bit this season. You in the second half, of course, we get those two goals. I think Woobs comes in and makes an incredible immediate impact. He had like three or four looks by himself that could have easily ended up in the goal. Van Kaziel had a good look from a corner that could have ended up in the goal. It just went right over. Arteaga had a couple great looks. Even Leo had a couple shots from outside the box. Like, things were coming together offensively, which I am thoroughly enjoying. That being said, Tormenta sat back a little bit, and this one kind of let us have the possession a bit, I think, less so in that second half, which is interesting, right? They kind of try to come out a little bit more. But it still takes a lot of good soccer to be able to produce 90 minutes of pretty complete soccer. And 90 plus minutes, obviously, right? Woobs comes in and scores the game winner. No, sorry, not Woobs. Woobs scores the first goal. The game winner comes in the 94th minute by Ollie Bassett. Just good. We've had a couple of these stoppage time ish goals, late goals of make an equalizer. This is good. That's a late goal for a win. 3 points in the Jägermeister Cup, and your Rowdies are in second place in the Jägermeister Cup group. We also scored 5 goals, which is notable in the Jägermeister Cup games. You'll remember that the tiebreaker, if you're in second place, is obviously all the first place teams in the groups move on to the next round. And then it's the top 2 second place teams with the most goals scored.
Yeah.
5 goals in 2 games. Not bad. Pretty good place to be if you're sitting in second place. Interesting results happening all around the Jägermeister Cup. But I'll save that for just a second from now. James, did I capture big things here? Are you seeing anything big that you wanted to point out here? Any good performances, any improvement? Am I kind of just waffling, or are you in agreement?
No, I'm generally in agreement. I think that Leo Fernandez was probably among the more positive players that I saw out there, not only because he did get a couple of good shots off. I would have wanted him to put one of those away or, you know, just bits and pieces like that. But we have to remember, of course, that this is Leo Fernandez coming back from a very, very long-term injury, something that has kept him out for, what, 2 years-ish now, Carlos? Because there was the Achilles injury. Yeah. And then last year, there were all the injuries that came from returning from the injury. So it's just been a very long time that since we've seen Leo get a full 90 minutes when he looked as fluid, I think, as he did this past game. So that's positive. That's building. And I'm very happy with the overall performance. I think that, you know, it's not the best that we've ever played. I'm not saying that, but this is a great improvement compared to where we have been, especially over the month of May. So you got to take your wins where you can, which is this is 3 points. That's positive. And at the same time, I said this last week or whenever we talked about it, but baby steps are how you get out of big problems. And that's true for everything. That's true for things that matter. Soccer doesn't quote unquote matter, but you know, it's a big thing for us. And obviously it is these players' livelihoods. Big baby steps are what are going to get them out of what I think is a pretty big problem for the 2025 season. And this was a good baby step. It wasn't a bad one. I'll put it that way.
Yeah. And again, we've talked about playing a full 90. I want to emphasize that again, because obviously that game winner comes in the 94th minute. Is that what I said? Stoppage time. Very late into the game, right? This is a game where we're coming back from down 1-0 as well. Like, I think there's a lot of positives to take away here, despite the fact that we're talking about a lower level opponent. And you know, again, gap not that big, but I'm talking about in the standings in League One, they're not playing that great. This is still a good performance, and I'm happy, because we haven't had a lot of those, even against mediocre and bad teams in the championship, right? So this is good. Like you said, baby steps. Offensive production is there. I think Woobs came onto the field really, really well. A lot of great looks. I think you were right to say maybe Leo puts away one of those chances. Like, again, he's ripping a few shots from outside the box, which I love to see. I think Ollie's getting comfortable in the attack, obviously gets a goal here. Just a lot of positives to take away as we go into a game in Louisville where you might think we're massive, massive underdogs. And I think we are. I think we are. Not massive, massive, but I think we're obviously the underdogs going to that game in Louisville. But I think there's a bit of momentum building here, a bit of grit shown from the team coming back down from a goal at home against a lower level team. I think it would have been really easy to drop the heads in the season we've been having to kind of say, you know, here we go, right? We go down 1-0 to a third division team at home. We've been playing bad. In my head, that's kind of how I started to feel. But it's clear the players didn't feel that way, which I think is demonstrative of some good attitude in the locker room, despite the season we're having. Long-winded way of saying positives to take away from this. I wish it would have been by a lot more.
Yeah.
And I wish we didn't concede a silly goal.
Yeah.
I mean, I would have been happier with a 2-0 win, but still good. Certainly still good. Things to improve on, certainly, but keeping it positive, I think this is a good win to hopefully get things going.
Absolutely.
We'll see.
With that, we will do our man of the match. Like I said, we got to get through this quickly because there is a lot to get to at the end of this episode. I hate to put it in such I don't know, clickbaity terms, but you really do want to stay tuned for what we're going to get into later on. So, Carlos, who is your man of the match for this game?
Yeah, I kind of spoiled mine. My man of the match is Rubens Pastillas, of course. Like I said, I think he had an incredible game. I think things started to ramp up. I think we had a good full 90 of offensive production, but I think things started to ramp up even more when he stepped onto the field. You could see his intensity coming in. Kind of curious about why he's not starting, but that's a question for another day. If we can get a full 90 of that Woobs, I think we can kind of get some things going offensively, even more so. We can increase that XG number I like to talk about so much. James, I think Woobs had a man of the match performance, and I think he's starting to feel himself a little bit more.
I mean, you can't really argue with his goal scoring record. Obviously, he is leading the team, and that is in both the league and the Jaeger Cup. So just keep that in mind, folks. My man of the match for this one is Blake Bodley. He is also returning from an injury, not quite like Nick Moon, but I think that he had a really good game in this one. And this is actually, I suppose I could have said this for Nick Moon too. There were a couple of chances that I really wish he had put away. There was almost a breakaway. It wasn't quite the same as Tormenta's breakaway chance, but it was similar. That's one where I would like him to score that, but regardless, he's putting himself in good positions, and I think that he did very well over the course of the 80 or so minutes he played. So Blake Bodley took my man of the match for this one. And Leo Fernandez was a close choice, but Blake Bodley ultimately, I thought, contributed just a little bit more on the – probably on the defensive side too. So
special shout-out to Bondre for coming up big.
Yeah,
Not a ton of chances for him to actually, you know, make a bunch of big saves on, but – if there was one to make a big save on, it was certainly that chance that Niall Reid-Steven had. So great positioning, good timing coming out of the net when he did, way to make himself big in that moment. So big honorable mention to Bondre, of course.
Yeah, commentator Ryan Davis pointed out that save is as good as a goal at the other end. I completely 100% agree. That is exactly what it is. Yeah. All right, let's do our preview of the away game this weekend versus Lou City. This Saturday at 8 p.m., the Rowdies are away to Louisville City, one of the East Coast leaders, so just keep that in mind. They are doing well, despite what I'm going to get into. Lou City are second in the East and second overall in the league. However, their recent form has not been stellar. Open Cup there's been an Open Cup loss, followed by two league draws, then one league win, and a loss in the Jaeger Cup this past weekend to Loudoun United. So that was a little interesting. Although, of course, as everybody listening to this podcast for more than just tonight knows, Loudoun is doing pretty well. Carlos is second USL team possibly, but they are doing pretty outstanding this 2025 campaign. Yeah. So Louisville City, we should expect them to line up in something like a 3-4-3 formation with Damian Loss in net. Although I should point out, he did not start either of their last two games, which was a league match and then the Jaeger Cup game. So I don't know if he's injured or possibly been recalled by his MLS team, Austin. Danny Fondes was in net the last two. So we'll see who starts this upcoming weekend. In defense, it's usually Sean Toch, Arturo Ordonez, and Kyle Adams. A midfield, most likely, of Manny Perez, Taylor Davila, Kevin Lambert, and Amadou Dia. Up top, there have been changes, but usually we see Ray Serrano and Adrian Perez starting behind one of Philip Goodrum, Jansen Wilson, or even possibly now Cameron Lancaster, who has returned to Louisville City after spending some time with Lexington in also in Kentucky. So he just joined the team. I don't remember if he had scored for Lexington, but regardless, the leaders for Louisville City so far, Serrano has 3 goals, and there are 3 other players that have 2 goals behind him. And then Perez is the top chance creator. Serrano and Perez are going to be extremely important players to keep an eye out on. They are going to do the vast majority of chance creation themselves, as well as, obviously, according to these numbers, the vast majority of shots and potential goals too. So just keep that in mind. And I don't know who will start up top, whether it'll be Goodrum or Lancaster or possibly this Jansen Wilson, but we will see exactly who ends up there. Carlos, is there anything that we need to hit on before we go into our predictions?
Not a ton, just that this Louisville team is obviously, despite their recent run of 5 games with just one win, they're still second place in Eastern Conference, 2 points behind Charleston. Very, very good team. We have a great record with them. Not a great record, but we have a great record of good games against them, right? We know how to win over there at that stadium, right? We have that big win in the Eastern Conference Finals back in 21, which I was so blessed to be at. I'll be there this weekend. If anybody's going, let me know. I threw a question in the Ralph's Mob Discord, see if anybody's going. No bites yet. But I'll be around. Shoot me a message if you will, too. This Louisville team, James, I think more than anything, is really, really impressive because of their defense. They don't let in a lot of goals. Despite some shaky performances, they're still averaging less than a goal a game against in that 5-game stretch you talked about, right? And they've been some shaky performances, but they're still hanging in there, playing well enough to at least get a point. By the way, that one of those games is against an MLS team in Minnesota, right?
Yeah.
So they did one game against Minnesota, one goal against Minnesota, one against Hartford, and then two in this most recent loss to Loudon in the Jägermeister Cup. Defensively solid team. We can expect that this weekend as well. If you want to come out of here with a win, you have to take advantage of your what will likely be limited opportunities.
Exactly. Right?
You look at a game like this where we have a lot of time of possession, a lot of okay-ish chances. You're not going to get a lot of those okay-ish chances. You might get one, if you're lucky, maybe two really, really great chances, and you have to put them away. That's the way you win this game. That's a path to winning. I don't think this is a team that you want to just sit back and play counterattack soccer against either. That's not really what we're super built for either. So I think you have to try and play your game over there, even though, you know, might not be the meta in Louisville against a really good Louisville team. I think that's what you got to try to do to come out of there with a result. All that being said, I think we're going to come out of there. Predictions? You have anything else to add?
Go for it.
I think we're going to come out of there with a 1-1 draw is my prediction. Like I said, I think we're kind of coming into rhythm when it comes to opportunities, goal scoring chances. I also said that we might get one or two maybe good looks. If we put in one of those chances, play solid defensively, I think we come out of there with a pretty decent draw as a result. I want to come out of there with a win. I don't think it's impossible. I don't think we're massive, massive underdogs. I think we're going to go in there as a betting, you know, underdogs, of course. But there's a path to victory here. And I think it's pretty clear. So it's a matter of imposing ourselves, playing a full game, hopefully getting some more guys healthy, keeping guys coming back, able to play full 90. Good performance from Leo, hopefully a good performance from Woobs, and that's how we get out of there with a win. But my prediction officially, 1-1 draw. James, what do you got?
I am not so high on it. And this is not specifically related to, you know, the Rowdies are doing poorly, the Rowdies are this or that. I think, in all honesty, we are trending slightly upward, as I said, but I think that Louisville City also are just their usual juggernaut self. And so I can't really discount that. So I have gone with a 2-0 loss away on the road, while Eureka joins you in a more positive note on a 0-0 draw. So I'm hopeful that either you or Eureka is correct, but I'm just trying to get myself some points here, folks. All right, well, that will do it for our preview. Let's move on to the extra time segment. And Carlos, we have two, well, no, hold on. We have a current Rowdy and a former Rowdy, I guess, that we can highlight here. So yeah. I'll let you take those away.
No, just a quick shout out, by the way, to Connor Antley, who gets his first goal with DC United. As you know, James, Connor.
A winning Antley, goal, if I'm not mistaken.
Correct. Game winner against FC Cincinnati, which my girlfriend was not too thrilled about. But that being said, Connor Antley getting a game winner, so much fun. I'm really happy for him. If you've been keeping up with his career post-Rowdies, you'll remember that he had a really, really tough injury that kept him out of the game for basically a whole season. He's been coming back slowly. DC United is not in a great spot, you know, in the league right now. So I think he's found himself with opportunities to get good minutes, just even just coming back from an injury right now, right? In fact, he got the start. I believe it was his first start. And of course, gets his first goal in that start. So hopefully big things coming for him. He is an awesome, awesome story. He's one of those players that had a long career at this level in the USL. And got a chance to make a jump to MLS at, I think when he made the move, he was 29, now he's 30. You don't really see that happening a lot, a 29-year-old making a jump from USL to MLS. Really, really fun. I'm happy for him. I hope he has a lot of great success with DC, obviously my local team over here. So I'm going to go make sure to check out a game now that I know he's starting, he's healthy, he's playing minutes. I'm really, really thrilled for him. Yeah, that's really cool stuff. Just, again, personally, like for the personal story he's had, it's been really cool to see him come back from injury and, of course, make the jump that he did and score a game-winning goal in his first start. That's pretty sweet. And James, the other bit of news I wanted to throw in here, and if you were in any way involved on Rowdy's Twitter and you keep up with the Rowdy's on Facebook or Instagram or whatever, they shared that Nate Worth actually got called up to the U.S. Youth National Team, the men's U18 squad, for the UEFA Friendship Cup, a very wholesome name for a tournament. Awesome, awesome stuff over there. I'm really happy for him. That's just really great for the kid, obviously, to get some minutes with a national team, get some minutes abroad. That's awesome, awesome stuff. More selfishly, from a Rowdy's perspective, if we ever have to come to a moment where, I don't know, some other team, maybe a big European giant, is calling a Rowdy's name for a Nate Worth, these national team minutes add up, James. I mean,
yep,
they have a good financial value when it comes to the Rowdy's thinking about how much their guys are worth. So I'm happy for Nate. I'm really, really happy for him. I hope he has a great time over there and get some good minutes. I'm not actually sure about the schedule of this tournament. We probably should have checked, but it's happening soon and it's against good competition. So I think it'll be a great opportunity for him, James.
Yeah, absolutely. I am a big fan of the international game, as I've said probably on every other podcast that we do, which is related to the Rowdies. Somehow I find a way to fit that in. But Nate Worth is continuing the great tradition of having Rowdies players represent the national team at some level. Two other things that we need to highlight before we get into our online talk. Gavin Glinton is out at the Oakland Roots, and Benny Feilhaber, of all people, is named as the new head coach for that club. Very interesting. I believe his only prior head coach experience was with SKC2 in MLS Next Pro, and they did well in the league. They didn't do well in the playoffs, where I think, I don't know if this is still the case, but previously in the MLS Next Pro playoffs, you could choose who you wanted to play, and they chose I think that they were first overall, so they could choose whoever they wanted. They chose the second place team, confidence coming out of the gate, and then they lost. But it was something along those lines. I don't know if that is still the case in that league. Regardless, that is probably his only head coaching experience that he's taken to Oakland. Very interesting to see how that goes. But Oakland has not been doing well, and that's really disappointing because they're playing in the Coliseum. I honestly wanted to see them just like light that place up, and hopefully he can do that. Who's to say he can't? Carlos, you have some lower division stuff before we get going.
No, I just had to throw this in here to keep up with the random pattern of throwing in DC area lower division soccer updates. Virginia Dream is absolutely insane. Like I told you, this was last week, right? I told you last week that if the Rowdies were horrible for the rest of the year, that I would just become a Virginia Dream FC fan, and we talk about the Virginia Dream every week on this podcast. James, through five games, they have scored 38 goals. And their goal difference,
that's a number.
They have a plus 35 goal differential, which is, as you can imagine, the best in the entire NPSL. El Faro Lito is actually not far behind them. As you remember, they're insane in the Open Cup, and they're actually still insane in NPSL play as well. But, yeah, I might have accidentally stumbled upon the best team in the entire NPSL. Which, if you're a sicko, you might know is a massive, massive division with like 90 plus teams, it feels like.
Yeah.
So I might have stumbled across the best team in the NPSL, and I'm going to keep up with them because they're absolutely cracked. They have another game tonight at 8 p.m. They're probably going to win by 10 goals like they have for the last three games in a row or something like that. Keep up with them, James. You might have the best team in the NPSL on this podcast. We might be talking about them this entire time because the Rowdies, they might get better, but I'll tell you what, Virginia Dream is going to be this good for the rest of the year. And then one more thing, Annapolis Blues, by the way, drew 12,000 plus at their game. I had to throw this in here because USL League One is always looking to expand, where USL is always looking to add teams to championships in League One. I think they have a team right under their nose already in League Two that's primed for a jump to the professional level, League One. They play at a really big stadium at Naval Academy Football Stadium. I think if you throw the professional tag on there, you can see even more of a jump in attendance, but it's really, really cool to see what they're doing. They're playing with literal college kids. If you know the League Two at all, like League Two is just basically a summer league for college students. Mm-hmm. A couple of Georgetown kids on there. One of my friends, Max, is on that team. And it's just absolutely insane to see him playing in front of 12,000 people at that level. Annapolis, apparently a great soccer town. Lots of stories about that, of these smaller cities being surprising us, being great soccer towns. We talked about Vermont before we started recording, James. Burlington apparently is a great soccer town too. Vermont Green draws sellout crowds at their stadium. So it's just really cool to see these lower division teams get such big crowds and attention in their communities. But League One, I feel like, needs a kind of injection in terms of excitement, stories,
in their teams, right? I think Annapolis would be an exciting team to add to that level. But I digress. James, you wanted to talk a little bit about the online chatter in the Rowdies community. There's so much to talk about. There's articles calling for a Stu Sternberg sell team. There's response articles from producer Eureka, right? There's rumors about a signing potentially.
Yeah, yeah.
Get to that in a second. James, where do we even start? Where do you want to start? Let's just talk about what's happening in the Rowdies community and the Rowdies discussion circles.
Yeah. So the reason that I figured that we needed to take a little time to do this, because we did take a couple of weeks ago time to talk about the team overall, where we didn't really talk about the game. It was just, where is the team right now? So let's talk about the club itself. There, it is driving all of the online discussion that is related to Tampa Bay, that is among Tampa Bay fans. The reason that I actually thought that this specifically needed to be done, and I'm not going to bring up the article specifically if you want that, check out our producer Eureka's article in response to what drove this. I don't want to mention the article just because I'm not here to like throw knives or whatever the phrase that I'm trying to grab is, but Eureka's response article is one that you can go and read. We would obviously suggest that you do. It's on all our social medias. And it comes in response to another article elsewhere saying that Stu Sternberg should be forced effectively to sell the Rowdies. So that is what I am trying to talk about here. Stu Sternberg is, of course, head of the ownership group that owns the Rays and owns the Rowdies. There is a lot of discussion supposedly in MLB circles about the league itself forcing him to sell the Rays. I spoke with Eureka about this at the game, and I don't think that that's actually on the cards anyway. So there's really no reason to think that that is something that MLB is pursuing, as far as I'm aware. And regardless of whether or not that's true for the Rays, I don't know exactly how much that would directly impact the Rowdies with Stu Sternberg. So Stu Sternberg being forced to sell the Rowdies isn't something that I think the USL possibly. I don't know this for certain. But what I do doubt, even if the mechanism exists within, let's say, the USL organization bylaws, they are not going to force Stu Sternberg to sell the team. I there's no world that I can see that happening. So the mechanism, regardless, that's not going to exist here. There are a lot of people who are upset with Stu Sternberg and the ownership group as a whole. Now, that's something that, you know, that's an argument that I can entertain, and that's something that I can discuss. But I also would like us, just like Eureka pointed out in his article, we need to be a little bit more factual about how we're going about it. And it's not just because we need to be nitpicky. It's also because it's kind of important as to where we're putting our efforts as fans. If we have any type of ability to direct the movements of the club, then you can't request that they do things that are impossible or make no sense. So we don't know the finances of the club. That's not something that gets released. We don't know what the budget is for the roster. We don't know any of that stuff. For all I know, they have spent everything that they can that is available to them on the Rowdies already. I don't necessarily think that's the case. And the only reason I don't think that's the case is because at the moment there are rumors that the club is going to at least sign a player. And we're going to get to that in a little bit, possibly talk about other players that I would like to see the team sign, just because that's always fun. Speculation is fun. But the point is here that even if they haven't spent every dime that they have on this team, there is probably a lot less room to move because of what they have put into the team in other ways. So if we take one more step back real quickly, think about what happened over this past hurricane season. The Bay Area got hit at least twice. And that's not counting after effect or other effects from other storms that were a little bit farther out from us. Yeah. And Al Lang Stadium in particular underwent a lot of damage. I believe that they had to spend themselves a lot of money to build it up to actually host games again. And that includes that includes not just the field, of course, that there's a lot of underbelly to the stadium where people need to have satisfactory locker rooms, satisfactory to a league standard is what I mean. And they have to have the facilities to host press conferences or what have you. All of these things need to be up to a certain standard so that they can host games there. They put a lot of money into being able to do this again. I don't know that we haven't spent so much money on those specific efforts that the Rowdies organization has less money to spend on the club. None of us knows that. The only people who know that are Stu Sternberg and the people who meet with him on a day-to-day basis. The idea that I'm an anti-billionaire guy personally, but my personal politics aside, it really doesn't matter here, because saying that Stu Sternberg is not doing enough for the club, you can make that argument, but if you don't have the facts and figures that are pointing to our budget, I feel extremely uncomfortable making any such claims. I personally would not go out there and say Stu Sternberg needs to sell the club because he's not doing enough, and this is the reason why, if I don't even have the money to point to, if I don't have the dollar per dollar figure, that's a little weird to me. And that's, I think, a lot of what Eureka was getting into in his article. Again, go read it. Carlos, please take me off of my ramblings here. Where am I going astray or not? Or what is your opinion of what you've seen people talking about online?
Yeah, well, I will say I'll take off my anti-Stu Sternberg hat generally, because I come into this discussion with a distaste for Stu Sternberg in general and how he operates the Rays. And I know some folks from the Rowdy sometimes listen to this podcast. It's not that I hate your boss or anything. He's just, I wish you would do a little bit more for the Rays. For the Rays, right? He's got a lot of money, man. Just like throw some more in there, you know? And they have a complicated history with, you know, like the Rays stadium deals and the backing out last second and the approving deals and the backing out. So I think this conversation is so convoluted because it's so easy to conflate what happens with the Rays, the Rowdies, like who owns the Rays. Like this, to clarify, and I think Eureka sharing this in our little private chat we have with James too, that it's the Rays baseball club, the team, the organization is the actual owner of the Rowdies. The Tampa Bay Rays own the Rowdies. Yeah, I think that means if the Rays were to be sold to another owner, that owner also owns the Rowdies. But that's not really something that people just understand naturally. You know what I mean? Like, Stu Sternberg, right? That's the name that's kind of a buzzword in Tampa sports discussions. It's like, Stu Sternberg. This conversation is so complicated. It's just confusing because there's so much gray area. No one really knows what's going to happen with the Rays stadium. No one really knows how it's going to affect the Rowdies. Does a new Rays stadium mean the Rowdies team up and play there too in some sort of multi-purpose stadium? Does some, I don't know, hypothetical worst-case scenario relocation of the Rays necessarily imply that the Rowdies move along with them? I wouldn't think so. I wouldn't imagine that someone who's interested in buying the Rays is also interested in carrying along the baggage of, and frankly, the financial, you know, nightmare that is owning a lower division soccer team. Like, there's just, the problem is, like you said, James, no one really knows what to advocate for. The Tampa Bay Rowdies fan base, I don't think, gets enough credit for being as knowledgeable as they are. People are very engaged with the soccer world around them, the U.S. soccer landscape, the landscape of Tampa Bay sports as a whole, like where the Rowdies fit into that, right? But despite that, despite a pretty good grasp on who the Rowdies are and where we fit into the Tampa Bay sports world right now, and maybe into the future, no one really knows like what to be, like you said, advocating for. We do know that the Rowdies should be at Al Lang next year. That was something that came out in
there in the news.
that was early May. I'll point you to Sports Business Journal article from May 7th where was indicated that the Rowdies were approved to be in Al Lang next year. Like, despite the whole conversation about tearing down Al Lang for an amphitheater or whatever
Ken Welch wants to do. Like, I don't know what the hell he's waffling about, but my point is there's just so much confusion about where the Rowdies fit into like the Rays' conversation. I look at the roster we have right now, James, and I think about how we just frankly don't have that many adults on the team, right? We have a lot of kids, which is great, a lot of youth players. I was looking at the Ralph's Mob Discord, and oh geez, I have to find it. But yeah, this was Mike that shared some breakdown of the roster in the Ralph's Mob Discord, that we have 16 professional adults of the 22 active players. One professional adult on loan to us, which is obviously Woobs. Two professional kids in Nate Worth and Mustali, with obviously Ortiz on loan to Crew 2.
And Mateus De Jesus.
Yeah, yes. And but he's on an academy contract, am I right? Is he on a full-time professional contract?
Oh, you are right. Okay.
Yeah, and then three academy kids, including De Jesus. So I'm not saying I wish we did. I wish U.S. soccer was a more transparent landscape in terms of contracts and financials and whatnot. But like you said, we don't really have a grasp on how much money is being put into a roster, how much money we have available to us. We could probably assume that money is tight on account of the friggin' Hurricanes that came through.
Right.
And again, understanding that the Rays as an organization own the Rowdies, we can probably assume that money's tight up there too. They're playing at George Steinbrenner Field, and they're currently in the process of renovating Tropicana Field, making it playable again. Who really knows when that's going to be the case too, right? Hopefully next year. And no one even knows like what their situation is long-term. No one even knows if they're going to be here long-term. So I think that's why it's so easy to just kind of get caught up in this. And it's unfortunate. I wish there was more transparency. I wish we could kind of have an idea of where we'll be long-term, what the situation is stadium-wise. We've talked about this on this podcast of the season, James, that Al Lang probably isn't the long-term solution for the viability of the Rowdies in Tampa Bay for the next 100 years. But at least we know we're playing somewhere next season, right? At least we know we're in Al Lang. So, I don't know. Like I said, going back to what I said about the roster, it feels like money's tight. But again, can we give the Rays organization some leeway because of the Hurricane situation? I guess so, right? I'm not sure like screaming sell the team is necessarily the best solution.
Or really, again, the most feasible option.
Yeah, like you said, or even the most feasible option. Is there a local owner that would like to buy the Rowdies and take on that financial responsibility? The Sun found a pretty decent ownership group, local, a lot of money, willing to pump in money into the team. I'm not sure how many of those there are in the Tampa Bay area for the Rowdies right now. That's just a guess. I'm speculating, right? Who knows what would happen if that's the case.
If all the fans got together, I'm sure we could buy at least several hot dogs.
Yeah, absolutely. I love
and like, I would in, like that personally.
Yeah. In a perfect world, we're all millionaires and we can all kind of contribute a ton of money and be like the Packers or something, right? That, you know, supporter owned. Mm-hmm. Obviously, plenty of soccer teams around the world are supporter owned and whatnot. Like, in a perfect world, frankly, I don't like the idea of being owned by a baseball team like fully, but I wish there's some billionaire owner local who loves soccer, loves the Rowdies, loves the Bay Area, and wants to make this a Tampa Bay team for the future, right? Grow the team, build a new stadium somewhere cool, whatever. I was always skeptical about like the Rays as an ownership group. Just again, I don't like being owned by a baseball team. I love the Rays, but I feel like there's just complicated things that get complicated there. I don't know if that's really the case because we've had great success under them for the last few years. So maybe we're just being a bit premature because we're having one really bad season. Really bad season, to be fair. It's bad. But at the end of the day, it's still one season out of a few seasons where they've had some pretty good success with us. So I'm not willing. I'm always up for a good riot and pulling out the torches and pitchforks. Don't get me wrong. But like you said, I'm not sure I'd jump on the bandwagon of necessarily asking the Rays to sell the Rowdies right now because I don't know what's out there. It's pretty uncertain. Maybe there's a good billionaire owner out there that would sweep up the Rowdies and keep them in Tampa forever, Tampa Bay. But I just don't know. So I don't know. All that being said, that's kind of where we are as a fan base right now, I think, right? I don't know what's going to happen.
Right.
In the meantime, we're still going to games. The fans still get out to Al Lang and sell out a bus, by the way, of fans going down to Naples. That was really cool to see. So on the Ralph Discord, a full bus heading down to Naples. Like, there's a dedicated fan base here of people that just kind of want to have an idea of where we are as a club long term, what we should be advocating for. There's just so many possibilities right now, and not all of them good, if we're being honest.
Yeah, again, just as Carlos said, there are ideal situations in this. Maybe we're not necessarily within those. And people do know more about the MLB side of ownership than I do, including Carlos. But we don't know what the Rowdies' budget is. And we don't know how much of that has already been allocated specifically to help build up Al Lang, which we know we will have for 2026, unless, I guess, we get hit by another five hurricanes. Knock on my plywood desk here. But yes, so that's just something we need to keep in mind. I understand frustration, just like all of you. It's been a bad season. I think there's nobody in the club who would tell you otherwise. But yeah. It's also not the case that we can just say, all right, this is where we're going, and Sue Sternberg needs to somehow be jettisoned from the club. That's not something that I see as an achievable goal, even if it's something that you believe for your own reasons is the correct one.
Yeah. Just one more thing I'll throw in here, because this also isn't like Rowdy's propaganda. Like, this isn't like pro Stu Sternberg. Probably it's not like we're, like,
I've never met him personally.
Like, this is just like, there's a lot to criticize about where we are right now.
Yeah.
Obviously. And again, I've just had like the Rays fan base as a whole is rather tired of Stu Sternberg. So I'm coming into this conversation with a pretty already, you know, made up mind on what I think of someone, fair or unfair, just how it is right now. But I think the takeaway is we just don't really know what's out there for us outside of the Rays right now. So like, maybe this is the best we have right now. Maybe almost certainly the budget's tight, but who knows how tight, right? Who knows how long this will be the case? Hopefully it's just a 1 year thing. We can get a good injection of money next year, if it is truly the case that the budget's tight. Yeah, but don't take this as if James and I, like, I'm not gonna speak for James, but I'm certainly not like out here as like a, I don't know, like a Stu Sternberg mouthpiece or anything. Like, it is just rambling off the top of my head, at least, about where I see the Rowdies, where I see the ownership situation, what I see for the Rowdies long term, which I don't know. I think that's the takeaway, is I truly don't know.
Yeah, absolutely. But one thing that we do have a little bit of access to, everybody has been complaining about the team this year, and that's, you know, pretty valid in my opinion. But to go off of the where's the money type of conversation that we're having, Cammy McPherson, it does appear, according to the official social media for the Rowdies, has gone back to Scotland. So we have got him for what we had. And I assume at this point, there will probably be no more Cammy McPherson. Just keep that in mind as we're going forward. But that does not mean that the Rowdies are done. There are rumors, nothing substantiated. I should point that out. Everything can fall through, what have you, all that stuff. But there are rumors that they are pursuing other players. And one of these players that we have found is Luis Alvarez. According to TopBin90 on Twitter, who covers the game in multiple areas, and they have some 8,000 followers, I think is what Eureka or Carlos said on their social medias. But per our sources, Honduran midfielder Luis Alvarez is closing in on a move to USL side Tampa Bay Rowdies. Alvarez has been a standout performer over the past two seasons with Charlotte Independence, earning a spot on the 2024 USL League One All-League First Team. Also, Carlos, thank Tom DePinto for pointing this out, but he has, where was the figure, 5 goals and 13 matches for Charlotte in this 2025 campaign, where he mostly lines up on the left or in the middle as an attacking midfielder. So there is at least one little bit of good news, provided it ultimately does come true. We're only reporting rumors, and as I've said, rumors do fall through a lot. I have seen over the course of following soccer, a player is not signed for your club until they have the picture of them holding the jersey at the press conference. Otherwise, yeah. Don't believe it, because people have gotten all. Anthony Robinson is one of the big ones for me. Anthony Robinson was linked with Milan for several years before they started signing Americans. And then he goes through the whole process. The announcements are out from people, reputable sources. It's done. No, he goes and he does the medical that they all do. And he failed for a heart defect, which he has since had remedied, luckily. But they found a heart defect that he could get treated, and they didn't sign him because of that. So You cannot call anything done until they are literally holding the jersey. The team says, we have signed a player. So this rumor is a good one, but it's just a rumor for the time being. I'm hopeful that it will go through to allow us to build up our attack a little bit more. And in the meantime, you know, maybe that's one place that the money is coming from.
Yeah. I'm not like the all-knowing guru of lower division soccer or anything, but in the few years of keeping up with the Twitter world of USL transfer rumors and whatnot, I do feel it is pretty rare that like someone with some sort of journalistic reputation throws something out there in terms of a transfer rumor and it's not true. I feel like these circles are like not big enough to where things kind of spiral and rumors turn into these unsubstantiated things. You know what I mean? I feel like if things are out there from like a pretty reputable lower division journalistic source, I'd take a stab in the dark and say they're probably onto something at this level, at least. I haven't really come across many just incorrect transfer rumors or totally out there in false rumors in the Twitter world of lower division soccer. But that being said, if it does come together, good numbers on the guy, 5 goals and 3 assists in 13 games between Open Cup, Jägermeister, and League One play. Like you said, all league type of player last year. Guy's good. Plays a few different positions. I mean, could be a number 10, could be like an attacking mid situation. If it is the case that he kind of plays in that attacking mid sort of role, I'd like that, obviously, since we're losing a bit of it's a pretty good attacking play for Kenny McPherson. I think you could be looking at some good numbers from him. So I hope it comes together, hopefully quickly, so we could see a performance sooner rather than later from the guy, hopefully in a game this weekend that we might be playing or not.
Imagine that.
So we'll see. The guy looks good, though. So if we're talking about going out there and getting players, it didn't seem like that was going to be the case for us this year. It seemed like we were going to ride with the guys we have. But if we are going to pick up a guy from League One, this guy seems like the creme of the creme in League One. So, yeah. And like we said, there's not a huge gap between these League One and championship teams. So if he's putting up these consistent performances at that level, I expect that to start to translate rather smoothly if he comes to play in the green and gold. So let's see him. 22 years old at Honduras. Not, you know, an old head, not a kid. It's kind of the perfect balance, what we're looking for, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that a lot of us will take any update to our attack right now. There are some players out there with USL ties who have just been relegated around the world.
Yeah,
I believe that Jose Gallegos, previously of San Antonio, was relegated. I don't know if I might be wrong about that, but there are other players in Denmark that certainly were. I believe Jonathan Amon. If it wasn't Jose Gallegos, then Jonathan Amon was relegated. He spent a lot of time in Denmark, though. He might end up staying there. Other players include Andres Jason. He was definitely relegated. I'm dead certain about that. There are a couple of other players here and there in the Dutch lower division in Austria, all of these different places where there are good American players, and they don't have to be American players, but generally you would think an American player would want to come back and play in America. So there are options out there, and if the Rowdies have the ability to go and get them, based off of this news with, or not news again, but this rumor of Luis Alvarez, then hopefully we can see somebody come in and contribute to this team and make it the good roster that we all know it is. I mean, I think that we still have a lot of talent here, even if they're not playing up to their level. And I hope that they can all ultimately get back to that. But yeah, Carlos, is there anything else that we should hit on before we head out for this one?
I got nothing else other than, no, I got nothing. I don't know. Stu Sternberg, you got a lot of money. I don't know. Give us a little bit more. you got some billionaire cash pocketed in there. We can go sign let's go get Joe Cole again or something. I don't know. We need some adults on the team.
Let's get someone who is the equivalent of Marcel Schaefer or Joe Cole on the roster. I would be down with that for sure.
That was an interesting time period when Bill Edwards was kind of just like, screw it, let's go get a big name guy. Like everyone was kind of doing it, you know, everyone's going to sign like a kind of back end of their career European player. Bill Edwards was not to be left behind. So we got to respect him for that at least. Interesting times on the Rowdies world back then. Okay, Rays ownership. Who knows what's going to happen? Who knows where we're going to play in 2 years? But, James, we have a spot to play next year, and that's in our lovely home of Owling Stadium. I'm happy. Rowdy's going to win. Let's go get a win in Louisville, too.
Absolutely. All right, with that, we will get you guys out of here. Thank you, listeners, for tuning in, or watchers, if that's what you were doing. Please follow RBLR Sports on all your social medias, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, Facebook, Threads, Blue Sky, anywhere. At RBLR Sports. I'm mostly on Twitter at RBLR James K. You can use the hashtag AskRBLR or you can reach Carlos.
At CarlosDPA10 on Twitter and Instagram. And Facebook doesn't have ads, but Carlos on there too. Carlos Fred. Stop talking about Kyle Jennings, man. He's gone. Like, let's stop. I mean, how many times have we said this on the podcast, James? He's gone. He was leaving Europe and couldn't find the opportunity. He came back to Charleston. All right, that's it. That's the last time. I promise that's actually the last time we'll bring up Kyle Jennings unless we're playing Charleston. James, follow me on Twitter. I know you do, but if you're listening and you don't, come over. Let's chat.
There you go. Like and subscribe to our podcast. You can get the full experience on YouTube if you'd like. If you don't, no problem. We are also on the Spotify and iHeartRadio apps, Apple and Google Podcasts, wherever you are. That's where we are too. So for our first win in 11 games, said Carlos, and for hopefully another coming up, come on you Rowdies.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.